Mics are hot.
That's right. Get that coal churning.
Choo-choo.
The fire's a-burning.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my bustling friend, Ian.
That is me.
We will be your host for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our somewhat finely crafted thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Isle of Trains, All Aboard, designed by Dan Kether and Seth Jaffe. The art is done by Dennis Martinets and published by Dronda Games.
Isle of Trains, All Aboard is a 1-4 player, card-based engine game where players will use these cards in a variety of ways to create a train to deliver passengers and cargo to different destinations on the island. Turns will continue until the end game is triggered and the conductor calls, All Aboard! Players will add up their train cars, deliveries, and tokens, and the winner will be declared the best conductor on the island. Well, Jared, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you have a heartfelt train experience or memorable train ride in your past?
I have a couple.
Oh,
actually.
Oh, you have more than one? Trauma.
I know. Well, it kind of is. So if you're in the Northeast of America or anywhere else that has trains on the regular, just know that you're talking to two good old Southeastern boys who don't really know what trains are. They don't really operate here in the South in a passenger capacity very much.
There's like one.
Yeah. And it doesn't go very far.
It only has like two cars.
Crazy, right? But when I graduated high school, I really wanted to go to New York, and I had saved up the money to go to New York, but all my friends were poor. One of my friends really wanted to go with me, and his dad said he'd be willing to help pay for the trip as long as we took the train from Atlanta to New York so he could have a train experience.
Okay.
This is a very long trip.
That's
let me just go ahead and
train.
Tell you. It's a massively long trip.
Like 2 days?
It was a day and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, and we went through overnight.
Yeah.
And on the way back, there was a guy that was running through all the train cars. This is the middle of the night, of course.
Okay.
So this guy is running up and down the train car screaming, "She's dead! She's dead! Oh my gosh!" Waking everybody up. It's insane. So we had to stop at the next train station for an hour.
Oh my Lord.
The police had to come and get him.
Yeah.
He was tripping out on drugs.
Oh my God.
So that was one train experience.
Wow.
Which is a very, I will say, as negative of an experience that is, I actually overall really enjoyed the train ride experience.
Yeah.
I would never do it again.
Sure.
But to get to do it once and to be able to say that I've done that, it was
And then
it
you
was
had
different.
Almost a murder mystery on the plane.
It was
on
close.
The train. On the
very
plane.
Close. Not the plane.
The train.
Train. Yes.
Ground, not air.
This is true. So that was fun. The other thing I just wanted to add is that for me growing up, my dad was always really into model railroading.
Okay.
And so that's been a big part of my life, of getting to see him make various train layouts. And
yeah,
we used to go to, I forget what the official word that they use, but it's like a train expo or a train convention
the
or things
train
like
expo.
That. We would like go and we would like get to walk around the halls and we would trade trains and things like that.
Okay,
like
it was, wow,
it was the
man,
whole,
you were
it was
a
whole
nerd
thing.
At
you,
age
you know,
five.
I always enjoyed getting to do that with dad. And I was never someone who was in the grand big picture world, but he liked to do that.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out well because I would give all the little details of like what we could do here and there and
right.
whatever, and he would do the big picture thing. It was a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. What about you?
I have a lot of train experiences, actually. Probably around age 10, and I don't know where this is, probably my family would be able to answer this. It's up in Pennsylvania, though. When I lived in the Oil City area, we made a trip somewhere out to a little town. I think it was like an old Native American like grounds. And what they would do is they would do these reenactments, and they would have, it was like cowboys. It was cowboys and Indians that would show up, and they did this reenactment. But there was a character that, I don't even remember the name, but there was a character, one of these cowboys, that was kind of like tucked in between all like the little exhibits. It was very like kid friendly. And so anyway, you would like go around looking for this like cardboard sketch out of this person, this cowboy, you know, Cowboy Dan or whatever his name is.
Cowboy Dan.
And so you would go around like looking through, you would see all this cool, like, you know, cowboys and Indians stuff. And at the very end, though, they did a reenactment, and then you would go on a train around like the whole area.
Nice.
And on the train, like, I was on the caboose. I got to hang out on the caboose, and they had like drinks and food on the train, and they would take you around and they'd drop you back off. And that was kind of the whole like experience. I do remember that.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a neat little thing as a 10-year-old, like cowboys and Indians, and you get to go on a train. I mean, come on, how much cooler is that? So, but yeah, no, a couple different trains. I did, yeah, the subways in New York City.
Yeah, I got to do that. That was a fun time.
And then honestly, my favorite subway system that I've been in is Boston.
Okay.
Boston, I took the subway all the way out to Fenway. And nice. Me and Julia, my wife, got to do that experience. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Take out the subway. It ends up coming above ground out by Fenway, but hop off the train, boom, right there. Super cool. So, I've had really good experiences with trains. Have you ever been on like a super, I'm assuming because we haven't said that, like a super fast, like the high speed trains?
Like a bullet train?
Yeah.
No, but I was going to say, thinking about, you know, we both kind of mentioned the Northeast and thinking about how Japan has those really fast bullet trains and things like that. I really wish that we had some of that down here in the South, because I think it's a really cool way to travel.
Yeah.
And we just drive our cars everywhere.
The United States doesn't like to get on that. But since you said the Japan, so the world's fastest train goes up to 374 miles an hour.
That's wild.
374. That's Japan's, like, let's see, the L0 series maglev. And so it's still like in production, but that's technically the fastest one. The next one is the Shanghai, China maglev, which is 373 miles an hour. So it beat it by one in like a speed test.
That's insane that they have two of those running around.
But the average speed, average to like with passengers on it, 286 miles an hour.
We don't have anything like that down here. Nothing.
I mean, we don't even have a car that goes that fast. Everybody's driving their F-150s around. You know, those things that get terrible gas mileage.
That's true.
Speaking of bad things for the environment. But anyway, let's move on to this.
I have an F-150.
But with this game, again, about trains, you're building trains, and it's card-based. But yeah, I mean, if you want to explain a little bit about how that kind of process works for people. Overall, it's card game. It's an entire deck of cards. There's nothing else. There's a couple meeples that you play with. But
so are you asking me to explain the game?
Yeah. Hey, Jared.
Yeah.
I would like you to explain this game, please.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, cool.
So in this game, you are on an island. Each player starts with a level one locomotive and a hand of cards. They are running these locomotives around this island. I don't know if the island has a name, but for game mechanic purposes, it doesn't matter. It's an island. There's six different cities on the island that you can go to. On your turn, you can do two actions. It may be the same action twice if you would like. The actions are, you can take one card or one passenger from the deck. You can build, which is to build one card from your hand. You can load, which is to load resources into the cars that you have already built. These might be coal, oil, boxes, or passengers. Or you can deliver those goods to a particular city, which will score you points and give you opportunity to be able to gain more points from that particular location.
So when you deliver the goods, you have a ton of actual different options. You'll pick a location. There's six locations. All have different names of just like the town that you're delivering to. But the first one is a primary contract, which is like the actual city itself. And so you'll have a certain amount of goods that that city will require. And so most of the time it's like two crates and like two oil or whatever. And so you'll have to fulfill that primary contract. So that's one option. The next one is a secondary contract. So when you complete a primary contract, it'll go in front of you. And so when it's in front of you, you are the only person that is now able to complete that secondary contract to that that town or city. So the, second option is to complete the secondary contract of that location. And so you were able to do that as a as another deliver action. You can also do a ticket tile, which you will move one of the passengers that is on your train and you'll move them to the ticket. Each ticket has three slots on the ticket. And so you'll get the furthest one to the left available. And this gives you a bonus of some kind and you'll gain cards or extra actions or victory points. Or there's a ton of different options that you can get from placing these passengers onto that ticket. The last option you can do is a special delivery, which is when you have passengers or cargo on your train, you can move them to a special delivery site, which is just a location not on the board. And you get cards as reimbursement for each good. So if you give one passenger to the special delivery, you'll get two cards. And then for each good or passenger that you drop off, you get two cards. So it's a way to get extra cards, very special delivery.
The teeth of this game is really in the build and the load actions. It's where the interaction amongst the different players comes into play. So it's one thing for you to just build out your card and try and make your train look awesome and do the things that you want it to do. And it's cool to just kind of, you know, add things to your train and then run it off to a city. That would be a very okay game.
Yes.
But the intrigue is when you have the ability to load your resources onto other people's cards. Now, Jared, why would you do this? Oh, Jared, I'm glad you asked.
Jared, why would you do this?
Well, Ian and Jared, you would do this because each card that you add to your train and each card that other players are adding to their trains has a bonus at the top of the card. That bonus is not for you, but for anybody else who adds resources to your train. So while you may be giving your opponent a resource, you are gaining back either cards, extra actions, resources, things that can really help you move your turn along. Because again, you only have two actions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just focusing on doing everything by yourself, then you're not going to get as far along as you would if you were to interact with the board and the other players. This gives a lot of choice. This gives a lot of, oh, I'm not sure if I want to do this, but I really need to do this syndrome. So once you have built, you do have to pay attention to the fact that there is that resource at the top that your opponents will be able to potentially take advantage of. The other thing that you need to know about the build action, the currency to be able to add those cars to your train is the other cards in your hand. So there is definitely a lot of give and take as far as I'm going to choose this, but I have to give up this to do that. And we definitely saw that a lot as we played of, man, I have all these good cards, but I can only play one of them.
Each card is used in all of these ways. Each card is played to build your train out, and it gives you more train cars to work with and more cargo space and passenger space. But then you also use those cards to load your train, and then you also use them to buy trains. And so you use the card for so many different purposes. And it's a really interesting way the game works. The game is all cards. And so but the cards do a ton of different things in this game. And so that, yes, loading onto somebody else's train is such a, like, there was a reward for doing that, but you were giving your opponent cargo. And the same thing, it's not just cards that when you tuck, you can also give passengers to your opponents. And so, but every time whatever you load it onto has a special ability and a reward, a reimbursement, so to speak, for what you're doing with that that cargo that you're giving your opponent. And so you get that kind of reimbursement from that, but you are definitely not, it's not for free.
Yeah, you're giving a resource and you're giving an action back to the other player because they don't have to worry about that anymore because you've given it to them.
Exactly.
But with that, Ian, let's talk about what we really liked about this game.
Yeah, it has a lot of things that I like in games, or it has an aspect that I really, really, really enjoy in games, which is cards having multi-purpose. One of my favorite games, Marvel Champions, you use cards in that game similar to this in a way, is that the card you have in your hand has usually multiple choices. You can play it for what it is or use it for this and use it as a resource. These have a little bit more options, but I love that game and I love when cards can be used for different things. It allows for players to have multiple options on their turn and not be pigeonholed into a singular choice. But on top of that, it just gives you so many options. And again, I'm just repeating that for a second time, but it gives you a lot of options when you're playing cards. And when you sit there on your turn, you're like, okay, I like this card for what it is, but what else am I going to play it for? I can't pay for it right now, or I just need to do this something else right now. And I'm going to have to bite the bullet train and move forward. And so I like it when cards give you that option and a game gives you that option. And it doesn't have to be cards. Just when you have options and that you have to sort through the best of your choices, what's the most optimal decision for your turn? And so I like it when games do that. And again, that creates that strong decision-making, which there's a ton in this. Like I'm sitting there on my turn thinking, oh my goodness, he's got this wide open train that I can load a passenger on and get like all this stuff. And boom, you can't make that decision because you have to go do this right now instead. And so the decision making, it's just very expansive in this game. It's a lot to look at. There's a lot to analyze. And there's a lot of things to look at when you're looking at your own train. But then you're also looking at everybody else's trains across the board to find out what the best options are. But that's cool. Like that's a great little system for just straight up cards in a box with a couple other tokens. There's a lot of game in this box for what you're getting. And again, with that, the art is great. I like the art. I think the art is really cool. And with all that, again, when you're looking at all the players in the game, there's a lot of combos that you can create. Like there are turns that I've had that I've had like four or five actions. You know, the game only gives you two, but you play on this train, you play on this train, boom, you played your two other actions, boom, you've had four or five actions and you had a really cool turn. So those are just some of the things I really enjoyed. I want to have options with the cards that I have in my hand, and this game provides that entirely.
Yeah, for sure. I will add on to some of that and say that along with the options, the game feels very tight. It's a game that doesn't take a super long time, either in real time. And also, it feels like every action matters. When I have a turn where I have not done well enough to put something together and I do a pretty basic turn,
yeah,
it freaks me out because I feel like I'm immediately putting myself behind because I'm only doing the basic action.
Yeah.
And so having that tightness is really important, I think, in a game like this to be able to feel like every turn matters and every decision needs to build on itself, because that's what's going to really make the game shine and make your personal engine run as well as it can.
Yeah.
So I really like that aspect. I'm not very good at pick up and deliver games. I just, I want things to happen so fast, and I've got to load my coal and I've got to get the oil and this passenger wants to go to this city and, oh, but I've got to take the action to get this person and I got to get to go there. So I was worried about this game. I'm not very good at them at all. And two, I don't know. I always feel like when I get done, I haven't done what I wanted to build,
right,
whether I win or not. It just usually doesn't feel like I've done things. But this does a good job of letting me feel like it took a little while to do this, or I could try and race to the finish line with this simpler load and deliver strategy.
Right.
And both strategies feel viable. Every strategy I took, I was like, this could work as long as I do it this way,
right,
and as long as I get cards this way and that sort of thing. So it gives a lot of options, both in the strategy and the cards that you're given. Very tactical. You kind of have to get into a few turns before you really can decide, okay, this is my overall strategy. So that also leads to a lot of variability long term, which is good too.
And yeah, it just leaves the door wide open. It really does. I haven't tried all the possible choices as far as building a strategy and what train you can end up building. I've not gone a more balanced route of going like passengers and cargo and oil and coal. Like I've not done like all of them. I'm sure you could build a train that has like all of them and you probably knock out a couple different things depending, like if you can upgrade those quickly.
Sure.
Another aspect of this game is so like when you build your train, there's level one and level two and level three. And so you'll be building different levels onto your train. And when you build level one, which is going to be the cheapest of like, let's say you build a hopper, a level one hopper. Later in the game, when you get a level three hopper in your hand, when you go to build that level three hopper, you get a discount. So when you play it on top of like your old hopper, you get a discount what the difference is between the cost of both of those cards. And so that's really cool. It's a neat little upgrade feature that you can do as you upgrade your train. And so then it's a nice little thing to be able to build through as you are trying to grow your train. And because the level ones only like hold like one resource, so you need to level up to try and get the bigger tickets and the bigger mm-hmm. destination tickets. So as you go, or the contracts, I guess they're called, but you have to get a bigger cargo storage and all that stuff to upgrade at that point. And so you need those. And so that little cost difference is great. And then there's also a locomotive, which is carries all the other train cars. Each other train car usually has a weight to it, usually one, 0 to 2 or 0 to 3. And your locomotive can only haul so much. And so there's a max. And so the locomotives also get upgraded because you start out with like a level one. And so you can upgrade it. Is there level four, level three or four?
No, level three.
Level three.
Yeah.
Level three is the most. But yeah, it hauls a good amount of your train. You never got past that. I stayed with a level two for most of the games. I've never just needed the level three, I guess.
But I'm all about the big engine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, the upgrading part is super neat. And but I, since we're talking about locomotives, this is funny. So if you were to guess how many hippos.
What is happening?
So how many hippos would you say a locomotive weighs? Like how many hippos would it take to equal one locomotive on average?
Oh man. I'm gonna say six.
Six hippos? It's actually 108 hippos.
What? Oh, no.
The 100 shy. Give or take 100.
I don't know. I was like, hippos gotta be pretty heavy, right?
So 108 hippos is around what a locomotive weighs in weight. So you need the locomotives.
Is that diesel and steam?
I don't know. Just the locomotive. Mm. It's just that's your hippo power that you need.
Wow,
on your
hippo power.
Your hippo power on the locomotive. You need about 108 hippos. So anyway,
thank you for that nugget of information there, Ian.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Yeah. So what about things that you might have not liked so much in this game?
Man, the ease of entry of this game. Everything I read about, man, is like, oh, it's so easy to get into. I mean, yes, no, no, no.
I agree that once you're in, once you've gotten past the gate and you're in,
yeah,
and you've played, then yes,
you have to get to the island first.
But when you open up those cards for the first time and you have this fan in front of you and you're like,
what
am I looking at?
What is this? There's like 12 different. The thing about this, it's a blessing and a curse. When you're using cards for everything, the card has so much garbage on it. Like there's so much on this card, man. It's ridiculous. I think I love it, but then I'm not sure. There's just so much. In the symbols.
Yeah. And I will say, I really do believe, like, once you've played a game or two, then you're like, okay,
two.
I've got this. I know what most of these symbols mean. I know what, I know the layout of the card now.
Yeah.
I understand what I'm looking at. And that's all fine and good. So I agree. It's not a difficult game once you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
But
the choices are very, they have a lot of depth.
When you open the box for the first time, you've got to push through in that first game.
And I think it's two, because it didn't take me till two to really like, I can obviously not know the symbols by game two, but like to understand what's happening at all times on top, just learning the cards the first game, you will be keep looking at the little cheat sheet, which the player aids are great. I think these player aids are awesome. I wish more games had player aids like this. It tells you, you get two actions on your turn. It tells you exactly what you can do and what happens. These player aids are awesome. And then you flip the card over. It has a card anatomy. I wish more games had player aids like this. It's literally one card, double-sided, has everything on there. But you're still referencing this thing constantly your first game or two, like a lot. It just is really tough to, when you're trying to learn a game on watching everybody else play, and then you're looking at all these cards and trying to figure out what I'm doing next, it just makes it really hard because you're just trying to look at your own board, but this game forces you to look at other players. And so that makes it really, like, you have to really focus in on what other players are doing. And so anyway, it just is tough when you're looking at all of this stuff at once. A new player is going to have a hard time. But just learning all the different things, learning all the different mechanisms, and then what to do with the cards once I had them, once I started building my train, looking at who do I wanted to deliver to or deliver to or store cargo on somebody else's train.
Right.
One of the downsides that I see in this game, if you don't get the tickets that give you cards early in the game, you might have a hard time getting, like, struggling to start your engine. Because cards, you need to get cards as resources.
Sure.
And so I noticed that there's only a couple different tickets that allow you to get cards. And so if nobody's really built out their train yet, and you don't have any cards like load onto somebody else's train to get some more cards, you're just stuck there waiting, just drawing one card at a time, I guess. Like, we didn't have really that much of an issue in our games.
I think we did in the game where you and I played a two-player.
Yeah.
And I went completely passenger route. Like, was a whole passenger train.
Yeah, that's
And I
true.
Had combos with my cabooses and
you
things like
that.
You
literally had nothing for me.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
I would, so your ability to draw cards was nil.
And again, that was mid-game. So that early game, you have an ability to draw cards because of the tickets. But if those tickets, they'd fill up with the passengers, and the passengers don't come back out. They stay on the board.
Right.
There's only three per destination.
Yeah.
And so the game ends usually when 4 to 5 of those destinations / tickets are completed, a combination.
Depending on player count, sure.
And so if those are filling up, there's no other way for you to get cards unless you're putting stuff on other people's trains.
Yep.
And if they're not building things for you to get cards, then you can't make that happen.
Yeah.
So.
And to clarify, you could have put passengers on my passenger cars. But that goes back to the give and take that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Where you were stuck because if you were giving me passengers, I had built a train that would let me use those passengers to be an even bigger benefit than the card draw that you would have gotten from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, specifically, early game, I feel like it's if you do not get one of those tickets that gives you the 5-card or the 4-card boost in hand. That's a huge thing. Like if we're in that game specifically, if we're playing in like a larger player game and you're just building passengers and those other things are taken already, I'm screwed. I cannot get any cards. Like
sure.
There's no way. Because when you deliver to a destination, you don't get cards for doing that.
Yeah. I think in a bigger player count, that would have been I would have been on my own and you would have been had other options.
Yeah.
But I think most of our critiques of this game are for early entry into the game. Once you understand the game and you're able to play it, I don't have a whole lot of critiques for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're someone who either is not super deep into the hobby or if you're looking to take that next step in a game, the choice will be overwhelming.
Yes. I think if you're playing this with a group that can play it a couple times, I think this is fine. You'll just have to learn together. I think that's great. That's fine.
I would highly recommend being able to play back to back.
Yeah. You need to play this game.
That's
a couple.
Really helpful.
Yeah. And so the time gameplay of this is it says an hour. I think it's more than that. If you're playing with a couple people.
If you're playing with four and you want to optimize your moves, you're closer to an hour and a half at least.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a better number. And so, yeah, you're going to, if you're going to play two games, it's a 3-hour time slot. So,
but if you're playing with two people that can pick it up pretty quickly, and by game two, I would say that, you're clipping along at that hour mark, maybe a little bit less.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say so.
So, yeah, I think it's one of those things where once you've learned, some of the choice is a little more parallel than you think it is. Like, once you understand what the level 1, 2s, and 3s do for each type of car, you realize, okay, it's not that different. And then you see the different buildings, which that takes a little bit. But once you've kind of learned the cards.
The cabooses.
Then it, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of symbols on the cards that do different things. Again, yes. Play the game a couple times, you start to understand what they mean. There are like, there's 10 different caboose cards. They're all different and they all have a special ability. I had to reference the manual multiple times, which again, I don't care about referencing the manual. They're just a lot. There's a lot of caboose cards that you have to go through. And the other cards are pretty self-explanatory. They're all similar. Like the level 1 to level 2 usually just boosts it by a cargo and then some, you know, what the opponent will get for loading onto it. Usually it gives you, so for every upgraded card that you play, the bonus for the opponent is doubled, like for what they're getting. And it's awesome as an opponent. You're sitting there, oh my gosh, they just played that level 3. Like I get like 4 cards and an extra action. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're giving your opponent more cargo. So
it's a give and take.
Yep.
I do have a couple other critiques on this game. They are visually based. And I will admit, I have trouble with my eyesight. It's not great. It's pretty bad, actually. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so I understand that. And you and I did talk about this off podcast. And we disagreed about what we were able to see. Because you were able to see things a little clearer than I was as far as what was on the table. But for me, the art by itself is cute.
Yeah.
I have no issue with the art itself. I would, because there's so much iconography and so many other things going on, I would have preferred almost minimal art because the art from a visual standpoint for me gets in the way at times from being able to see all the different icons on the board or on the card that I want to be able to see.
Yeah.
And it can be very distracting as extra noise when I'm trying to decide the 800 different choices that I have on the table. Especially when, you know, for the people that are sitting across the table, if I don't have a perfect square of a table, if I'm sitting at a rectangle or whatever, I'm gonna have a really hard time seeing what's across the table from me. And I did it all the time. Hey, what do you have? Hey, what do you have? I want to know if I can throw something over there. Hey, what do you have? Like it was all the time.
Yeah.
And so I wish either that they went with more of like, and they wouldn't have done this because there's way too many cards. If either it went with like a tarot size card or if there was less art and it was more minimalistic so that you could see the card or the stuff on the cards that you need to see. That's my first thing.
I disagree with that part, but that's just me. But yeah, again, that's just, I think if we played this game more, it might not bother you as much, I guess. But,
maybe.
But yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't bother me. Once I got, it's not the art bothering the rest of the card for me. It's just understanding the icons is the main issue. I does not bother me that the art is behind. It's usually kind of, it's centered on there. They don't clog up, you know, a bunch of stuff around the icons necessarily. Like the locomotive has a little bit of smoke like up there, but the rest of the cards, it's like the art is in the very center. All the other symbols and icons are around the edges.
Yeah. Now, I hear what you're saying,
but that's personal.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I will acknowledge they made an attempt to make it work to where it is both pretty and functional. And the art's great. Again, I like the style that they chose to go with. I think it fits this box and this theme and this style really well. I just, for me personally, with visual issues, I would have preferred minimal art because that would have made it a lot easier. Also in that same vein, the way you make the center board with the tickets and the island itself.
You really don't like this.
I can't stand
it. You really don't like this.
It's this tiny little 6 cards.
Yeah.
With little small tokens around the outside.
Yeah.
And if you're in a 4-player game, heck, in a 2-player game, I had to like really squint at what I was looking at times because it's so small.
It is small.
And
it is. So the cards that build the island are the same exact card size as the rest of the deck. I wish it was bigger. It's hard to see the icons, the victory points. So there's victory points on the island cards.
Yep.
I can't. It's so small.
Oh yeah. There was one point.
Like for the size of this card, the icon on it is tiny.
Well, and tiny. At one point during one of our games, I was looking at a build across from me, and then I had to triple check myself. I looked back at the island because at first I was like, why are they going for that? And then I saw the secondary was like plus 14 points. And I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah, it is tiny. I don't know why they did that. So the primary is obviously on the left or where like near the city, but then the extra bonus is the secondary part is smaller off to the side. You cannot read that. If it was on the table over there, you can't read that. You can't read that number.
No way.
I can't read that. You have worse eyesight than I do, and I can't read that card.
Right.
I can't read that. I have to pick it up and look at it. Because that ain't going to do nothing for me.
So I understand that they like put it in a small box because they wanted to adjust the price point to make it work better for their backers on Kickstarter and whatever. Yeah. And like, I get all that, but the game needs to be functional.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think you could have had a folded box or a folded board that could have been bigger if you'd gone a little, you don't have to go full Ticket to Ride size box.
Yeah.
But you could have gone a little bit bigger to make all these icons work.
I think they're small. They're still small. I can see it on the table. I know what that is from there. It's a little bit bigger than the victory point stuff that's on the cards. Those are too small.
And again, I get it. This is a smaller publisher. And even if it was a bigger publisher, maybe you just wanted, this was what felt like the right price point.
Mm.
And I get that. And I want to respect that because I understand that it's difficult to make a board game or a card game or whatever. But at the same time, if a game is going to be made, I would like it to be functional.
Mm.
And it's very difficult for the main shared board to be functional by everyone when it's that small.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my visual rant of the day. Ian, you have played this at solo.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's a good solo. I'm not a big solo guy, just in general. So I don't know if I'm the best person to ask. I think it's solid. I haven't tried all the scenarios. So there's like a straight up like solo. And so you're trying to complete, it's called challenge mode. So you're just trying to get a most amount of victory points as you can.
Yeah.
And you just play through the deck one time. So you just run through the deck, how much you can get, how many points you get. You can load onto your own train. And get the bonus in the solo because there's obviously not
that makes sense.
Yeah, nobody else at the table. So you get the bonuses, but you're just trying to score. They have like six different like scoring categories and see how well you do. If you do 80 plus points, you get the island conductor. But there are like 20 different scenarios. Maybe not 20. That's a lot. There's like 10 different scenarios. So like one of them is, welcome to the Island of Trains. And so you complete a primary and second contracts for Billingtons and Flint Beach. So it's like the goal is to complete a specific thing. So this one is build four buildings, gain 60 VP. So every scenario is different.
Sure.
So you're like aiming. It's not just like score as many points as you get. You're actually aiming for
That's
something.
Cool.
So yeah, I haven't done all those, but overall it feels... It's missing the part of loading on other people's trains, I think, is the part that I'm missing in the solo, because that's the fun part for me when playing with other people is you're looking at all the other trains. What can I build? What can I put on their train to get something out of? And so you're kind of missing that a little bit in solo because you only have your train, which is fine. You get the bonus, but the part of it, which is really fun in this game, is looking at everybody's trains. You know, this one holds two oil. They already have one oil on it. Well, let me fill that up for them, but I get all this stuff in return. So you kind of missed that in the solo part, but it's all right.
Okay. That makes sense. So with that in mind, what would you say is the preferred player count for this game?
I'd probably go like, I feel like three. I feel like the more, the better, honestly. Three or four. It gives you more options. It gives you more options to put your cargo or cards or whatever. It just gives you a lot more options. I think three is good because you do have a good opportunity at getting those tickets early. And so the fourth player might just add a little bit more busyness to that, because those tickets are, there's only three per city. So I feel like three would give you just enough to do what you want still and still have options.
I would agree that three is probably the optimal spot. In our gaming group, there's a lot of players that go for optimization over just playing cards and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that focus on optimization, turns tend to take longer. And so as much as I think that I truly would love this game best at four,
mm-hmm.
for the purpose of time itself, I would say that three is a really good spot to give you the balance of options, but not that fourth player taking up that extra 30 to 40 minutes.
Right.
With that, let's go ahead and move into grading and final thoughts.
All right, the music.
So as we've talked about a lot on this episode, this game provides choice. It gives you lots of options, and you can kind of choose your own train adventure, if you will. And so for me, I very much liken this to a buffet. Okay. When you go to a buffet, there is a plethora of choice. Various foods that are ready for you to, they're not healthy by any stretch of the imagination. And you know that this is not going to be the greatest meal that you've ever had, but there's a decent chance that you're going to enjoy it. And you know, if with the right combination of things that you add to your plate, I think it could be a really good experience. I would give this game a solid 7. And I don't know that it would ever really get much higher than that for me, but I don't know that it would get that much lower either. I think with the plethora of choice, when you go back to refill that plate, it's always going to be, you have the option for something new. You can always try a new strategy, always try a different set of card combination. And so for me, it sits in that 7 spot. I would probably ding it a little bit for some of the visualization things that I talked about. But outside of that, it's solid.
Yeah, I think that's a good number.
What an endorsement.
Yeah. That's not what I'm going to give it. I feel like you had more harsh critique and during our talks, but I consider this a like a shopping experience. When you go shopping, there are plenty of things that you should buy, like soap and detergent and deodorant. But then there's some things you just shouldn't buy. I'm not going to name those things because I don't want to offend anybody. But with that, there is things that you should buy and that you should spend your money on and that you shouldn't. And in this game, there's a lot of things that you should do, and there's some things that you probably shouldn't do, but you don't know that in the moment. And sometimes when you're shopping, you don't know how many times have you bought something and you thought I needed this. And then 5 years later, you're like, why did I buy that? Why in the world is that hanging on my wall? But that's what this gaming experience is like, is there's a lot of different choices, and you don't know if it's the right one or not. And with that, I would currently right now.
Wow. I can just see.
He knows it's coming too.
I did. Oh,
he
man.
Knows it's coming. I'm going to give it a 5.5.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not because I didn't like playing the game. It's just that it didn't pop for me. And I will play it again. I mean, I own it, and I'll probably keep it around, and I'm going to try it with some other people and see how we do. Again, it's not something that I hated. It just, maybe I just need to play the game, I guess, more to really sink. I think there's a learning curve. I think the more you play this, if you play this game a lot, I think you will have a lot of fun with it if you're willing to stick around. That's tough for me, especially with like a group to 2 to 3 players. that's tough for me because my gaming groups are much larger than that.
Yeah.
And so that's tough because this game's not coming out unless, you know, you've already played a game, some people left, but then you're committing to an hour. That's not a short amount. It's not like a 30-minute card game with new people. And so it 5.5, it's not because I hated it. It's just, it's not, I think in general, is a strong learning curve to play well. To pick it up, everybody can load a train and move some passengers around and whatever, but it's just that learning curve, which makes me bring it down a little bit. I mean, if it were just easy to get into and a little bit easier, I mean, it would be, yeah, like a 7 for me, because I did enjoy playing. It was just a little bit more to kind of get into that I wanted.
Most of my critiques are in the visuals, as we've kind of highlighted already. I really think he put together a good game, or they put together a good game here.
Yeah.
But it is overwhelming to start, and it's even further overwhelming when you can't see the game.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get where you're at. I'm a little surprised, but I get it.
Yeah. I mean, this game, there was another addition to this game years ago, way worse art. I don't know if you looked, the icons were worse on that.
Yeah, so, it was bad.
So this one has much better icons and art and everything. This game's much better than the first, I guess, edition, even though it's named kind of different. It's named All Aboard with it instead of, it was just called Island of Trains. But anyway,
Isle of Trains, not Island.
But yeah, I don't really have issues with that stuff. So it's just different.
I did want to just briefly go over Drawn to Games.
Yeah.
They have a couple of things already out in addition to this game. Solar Storm. I want to do that again.
Solar Storm.
So Solar Storm is a cooperative hand management survival game. Same size box. Looks like that's been their kind of their bread and butter for these first few games that they've played.
Mm-hmm.
Or that they've made, excuse me. They also made, one second here, Solar Sphere, and currently they have one called Pioneer Rails, which is currently out on GameFound, which you can pre-order, and they have another one coming up, which I'm really intrigued by.
Yeah.
The art on that one, you talk about something that's drawn me in based on the art. Explorers of Nivoria. Don't know a whole lot about it yet. I want to look into it a little bit more,
yeah.
But definitely intrigued
that
by what's going on there.
Nice.
That box art is
nice.
Fire.
Yes. Nice.
So they're up and coming. We'll see, what comes of that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. They only made a couple games. So, and they kickstart most of them, I think.
Right. Yeah. That Pioneer Rails was on Kickstarter before it moved to GameFound after that. So, yeah.
And then they sell their games outside of Kickstarter. You can buy this game. It's coming out. I think you can still pre-order through their website and other means. And there's going to be two different versions. There'll be a deluxe that has the meeples, and then there'll be just a standard, which will have just some cardboard tokens. I like the meeples; they're good fit. But they have some other. They have like a game mat and some metal tokens. I don't think those are necessary, but you're welcome to buy those. But the deluxe edition is nice. It gives you the little wooden tokens. So
All it's about wooden tokens.
Yeah, it's a little $20 base, and then the deluxe edition is what, like $30-ish dollars,
35.
US dollars.
35.
So, yeah. So, yeah. No, it's a solid price point.
Solid price point for a 5.5 game.
Yeah. I can't. No, for a relatively speaking, for the price point, it does work well. I hate to give it such a low rating, but
you don't have to walk off your rating, man.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not walking off my rating. But, no, for the price point, it's solid. Yeah, a solid, like, $20 game. Yeah, no, I really think it fits right there. I do think it's tough for family. I don't know. I'm not walking into my family with this one. I'm not. I'm just not happening. It's just too hard to learn. It takes a little long. It's interactive, but not in the way that I think a family game should. So that makes it tough. If you're a couple, and like games like, worker placement or, like pick up and deliver,
I think it works well as a two player game.
Yeah. I think that would work well. But family is necessary, like the family game night. I don't know if this is the one, but you're welcome to give it a try. Do you agree with that?
I think so. I think for the average family, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
If it's a family of gamers, I think they could handle it.
Yeah.
But if it's, if you're...
If you have a mixed group.
If you're looking for something casual, this is not it.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us at our table. If you have feedback on the episode or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram. Ian's been doing a great job with that. We just wanted to go ahead and applaud the 125 or more followers that we already got.
That's right.
Additionally, we would absolutely appreciate it if you could take a moment to leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts, and also help spread the word by sharing with your friends and that one individual at the table that you just really need to beat at your next game night. Both of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing the podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder, who made our music. Until next time, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
All aboard! All aboard!
Choo-choo! Today, we will be looking at Isle of Trains, All Aboard, designed by Dan Kether and Seth Jaffe. The art is done by The art is done.
You're doing so well.
I know, it was perfect.
Finish strong.